Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, brooding after this latest Lakers loss. I know it's really affecting you. You're down in the dumps about it. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm sitting at my locker, despondent, pondering the winter solstice of my career.
I'm sick of talking about them, but they keep losing. Like, there's only one thing to talk about right now.
And it's that they keep losing in these amazing. Here's what I was saying this morning. It'd be one thing if they kept like blowing leads, like another blown lead.
Yeah.
Or, it's actually more amazing that it's just like, no, they just got killed. Like, yeah.
They had no chance.
NBA loss.
Yeah.
Like, the Grizzlies, you know, they were in that game in the fourth quarter. Silver Screen and Roll, great Lakers blog was talking about this, silverscreenandroll.com. It was like, for 12 minutes, they really looked like they bought into everything they were saying. And then that went away. And, like, Memphis just kicked the crap out of them.
Yeah.
Because they have the better Gasol. And Tony Roten was huge, which tells you a lot about the Lakers' defense.
Yep.
And Tony Allen was hitting jump shots.
Yep.
And here's, I will say, though, stuff like that where Tony Allen is hitting like off the cuff dribble jump shots. This is why I really am. I mean, look, I'm not a big conspiracy guy. I'm not hugely superstitious. I have a decent amount of respect for superstition and kind of the energies that work in this world. I really honestly think the basketball gods hate this team because of Dwight Howard. I don't have much of an explanation for some of this stuff.
It's
I mean, because I realized this, like, they're just bad. And this is the whole fight. It's like, Mike D'Antoni has made them bad. They were bad before. And Mike D'Antoni is a good coach, and he's coaching badly. Good players are playing badly, and good coaches are coaching badly.
Yeah, that's the I don't even know how to explain it anymore. I mean, Kobe said he had to hit more shots, and he did that. I think he missed his last six shots. Because I think I saw at some point he was 11 of 17. Box score says he ended up 11 of 23. Didn't hit a shot in the fourth. But, like, he made more shots, and the team as a whole, I don't know, I guess they were kind of competitive. They were so bad in the fourth, shooting the ball. I don't know what to make of it.
Nash, I lob this one to you. Boy, Earl Clark was bad.
But that's what
a lob right there.
I expect that. You can't ask. That's the thing. You can't ask Earl Clark to play 40 minutes.
I mean, and honestly, part of it is he's missing stuff that I think that he can hit. Like, and he has it this year. That's why Lakers fans kind of started to like him.
Sure.
Like, you know.
No, and introducing the athleticism to the lineup. I don't know if it's helped. It's made it more watchable.
It's why everyone's kind of freaked out. Like, everyone's like, how can you bench Pau Gasol for Earl Clark? And I've gotten like, because Earl Clark's playing better. Like,
yeah, that's, I mean, in an
did
ideal.
Did you see the gif of Pau falling down?
No, I missed that.
Okay, I posted like seven times. It's on the 4-point play.
Oh, I'll check that out right now.
There's a loose ball, and Pau, like, starts to run towards it and falls down. Like, he's gonna dive for the ball, but he just falls sideways, and the ball just kind of rolls into the Grizzlies' hands, and then it's a dunk.
He goes
to sleep.
Yeah, he goes full narcoleptic.
That's full narcoleptic. That's your whole thing. He definitely took a nap.
Yeah, no, he just fell right asleep like a puppy in the middle of playing.
It's just not good.
That's what it looked like.
It was just not good. I mean, you know, it's like, and you want to say like, oh, well, Dwight got hurt, but it's like you knew they were gonna lose anyway. You just knew it.
Right, it's not like Dwight was playing well.
Right. And the other part of this is, we wrote about this last night, and there's a lot coming out now. That locker room, I will say this, I want to credit some of the other organizations that their players just don't leak stuff to the media.
Yeah.
Because that's a responsible way to do it. You know, like, we're in the media. I would love it if players, and I've talked to players off the record, but one, it's clear it's off the record, and two, they're not trying to get stuff out to paint a narrative, to paint a picture of what's happening. And the Lakers right now, every single player on that roster, I think besides Steve Nash, is pretty much like Mike D'Antoni's the devil.
Yeah.
Because,
and, you know, I'm a patience guy. I'm a, you know, let's see how it plays out kind of thing. I know they can't afford it and that it's ridiculous and all that, but they kind of got to fire Mike D'Antoni, right? At least, like, after this season.
Yeah, I think once they're eliminated from playoff contention, that should be the thing.
Yeah, like he's got to go. Like, there's no patience that will fix this because the players don't like him.
I'm thinking outside the box here, okay?
Okay.
You know what they should honestly do? And this is terrible for Mike, and I feel awful for him, but it would actually rally, I think, people around him, and so it would work two both ways. It would make the fans happy and give media something to rally about.
Okay.
They should do a clock that's for every single, like, the further they get away from the playoffs, and, like, openly say, we're going to fire Mike D'Antoni if the Lakers don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then, like, fans could be, like, rooting or cheering or whatever, like, pulling for Mike D'Antoni to get fired.
It's
and
this
sounds awful, but at this point, I'm kind of like, Mike, you take a job when you're on painkillers.
Oh, I mean, it's a spectacle. You might as well like, put, you know, tinsel and lights on it. Like,
yeah,
this
he's going to get paid either way.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, no, I like it. That's kind of like the exact opposite of the mid-2000s when the Pistons would win a playoff game and they would get the spray paint and X out, like, one of the 1 through 16
right.
for each win they needed to win the championship. I like that.
Right. It's, you know, and that way you can really have a good time with the players tanking and not playing for him. This Dwight Kobe thing's interesting. So the big question was, how are they going to get along? And there was reports of the phone call last year where Kobe called Dwight and said, "You can be our Tyson Chandler." Because if you know, Kobe's such a good salesman.
Yeah.
You know, and the sad part is, you kind of wish Dwight would be a Tyson Chandler because he doesn't talk, he doesn't leak things. All he does is play well and take photographs.
Right.
He gets traded, and now, you know, the question is how they're going to interact, and it's going to be, well, Kobe's going to inject some of that competitiveness and what it takes to be a real leader into Dwight. And, like, the absolute opposite has happened. And apparently, the two notes from the ESPN article I wanted to point out. One, Kobe, first, Dwight's talking on the bench about his shots, looking at the stat sheet and looking at his shots and complaining about Kobe taking so many shots. The teammate calls Kobe over during a game on the bench. And Dwight doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Dwight won't talk about it. Like, my job is to talk about people behind their back. Right? But let's
sure.
be perfectly honest.
No, that's exactly what you're doing.
That's my job, is to talk about people behind their back. You know?
And I try really hard. There is the opportunity for them to turn around if they know where to go.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing. Is like, I also don't go to guys in the locker room that I've killed.
Yeah.
And been like, oh, hey, champ, great game. You know, I'm not going to go. I don't go up to Dwight Howard and be like, what's up, champ? Like, I don't do that. I don't think I've ever called anyone champ. But anyway. But still, like, to do that is just like, oh, come on, man. Come on. And then in the team meeting, Bryant directly goes up to him and says, do you have a problem playing with me? And Dwight just, like, ducks the issue.
They're the worst high school team in the world. That's what it is. Everything's so high school. Like, and the thing, people keep saying, like, how do you know Dwight? Why would you want to lock him up? How do you know he's not going to keep doing this? And it's because, oddly enough, for some reason, I give him the benefit of the doubt of thinking, all right, once he's locked in to a place, then he just has to grow up. But does he? I mean, I guess not everyone grows up.
There was a note, I think it was in the Wojnarowski article about how, like, apparently Dwight, like, gets on the microphone during on the plane and does impersonations. And you can just imagine the guys being like, oh, God, just stop.
Someone has to pull him aside and tell him he's not funny.
I don't think anyone will. He's got nothing but enablers. That's his whole life, is enablers.
I'd be happy to do it. If they want to hire me for a 10-day contract.
He's got enablers in the media.
Oh,
of course. The only guy that's been out there talking about how Dwight Howard needs to cut this out is Kevin Ding of the Orange County Register.
Yeah, Kevin Ding's pretty on record of saying, hey, you're kind of a joke right now.
You know, and I'll tell you right now, if you guys want to get some of the real stuff that's going on, go to the local media, because they don't have to worry about repercussions with various people who do business with Dwight Howard.
Sure.
So I would tell you to trust those kind of sources, because those guys don't have any reason to lie. They just cover the team.
And Kevin Ding's really good.
And Kevin Ding's really good.
And there are other very good reporters covering the Lakers, but I really like Kevin Ding.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good guys. There's a lot of really good guys out there. Dave McMenamin of ESPN.com is really
good.
You know, and he knows a lot about the team, but he writes about what's on record, and He goes from a place, from an important place, and he's balanced. And that's really important. You need to be balanced about these things because Dwight Howard's not a terrible person. Like,
we don't know that, but I would say
I don't think he is. I don't think most people are terrible people. I think that Slobodan Milosevic was a terrible person. You know, like,
who'd he play for?
Who he play for? They should do war criminals with Shaq and Charles at PNG. Who he play for?
No, I mean, Dwight's not a bad guy. He's just terribly confused about what his role in society is.
Part of what's bothering me, though, is it's like, well, he's young. It's like, no, he's not.
No, he's like 26, 27, right?
He's 27.
Yeah. No, he's been around long enough to know. And this was the thing that always bugged me, was people claimed like he wasn't good enough, he wasn't tough enough because he smiled all the time. I'm fine with a guy that just has that disposition. Me, personally, I walk around and I don't smile unless I have a reason to smile.
Right.
And people end up thinking, like, oh, why are you such a sourpuss? Or why do you look like a serial killer? Or so, you know, I don't know what they think. But
that's my thing. It's like, man, I smile and people think I'm stalking them and going to, like, take them back to my shed. It's
yeah,
not
that's,
good.
That's the thing is that I, like, all I'm reminded of is that Celebrity Jeopardy sketch where he goes, and there's French Stewart grinning like an idiot. And, like, that's what I don't want to be. I think I don't want to be the guy just walking around grinning. And so, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's a poker face or whatever, but, like, I just don't walk around smiling and people think, what's wrong with you? But then if you do walk around smiling, people think, what's wrong with you? And they think that it means you're not tough enough. And I never liked that narrative about Dwight. I think he's plenty good enough, and I think he's plenty tough enough when he's healthy. But at a certain point, like, I don't care about your personality on the court. Your personality off the court is an issue. Like, it's an absolute issue, and it has been for 3 years now. This is the third season that it's been an issue. And at some point, he has to realize that, or someone has to make him realize that, or, you know, Kobe has to go into a kickboxing ring with him or something. Like, something has to happen.
So, you're firmly in the camp of do not trade Dwight Howard, right?
Correct.
You're absolutely certain of this. Like, no matter what happens, you don't trade Dwight Howard?
I think it's foolish.
Okay.
Especially, like, what are you going to get right now?
I mean, part of this, a lot of it goes back to...
You can get Houston stuff. Like, you can get plenty from them.
There's two dominant lines of thought, right? Which one is that, like... And we're saying this is actually... The Lakers are a lot about this right now. Is that the players matter, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Is that, nothing else matters except that. And I'm not sure... And I think maybe this is the extreme... Maybe this is the point. Maybe it has to be this ridiculous a combination of personalities for talent not to be the most important thing. I think that's maybe where I'm getting to, is if there is, we wonder if there was a limit, because to me, how you run your organization is really important. I look at it as running a business.
Oh, like absolutely.
The Spurs run a business right.
Sure.
Like, their employees are happy.
Miami Heat run a business right. I mean, from Mickey Arison down to Pat Riley down to the players, like, there is a clear, like, no one's going in there and questioning Pat Riley, you know?
Well, not only that, but it's... Players are respected. They feel valued.
Yes.
They feel like their input is there. They feel their input matters. They feel like the organization cares about them and their families.
Sure.
They feel like, you know, they put them in a position to succeed. They're willing to spend to succeed. And in return, you value the organization. You respect the guys that are in charge and their decisions.
Right.
Managers manage. Coaches coach. Players play. The problem, people say that, like, coaches coach, players play. Well, the players have got to be coached how to play, because otherwise they're just out there doing whatever. And people are, that's the prevailing argument I'm hearing from NBA TV, TNT, and from a lot of writers, is basically that they should just go out there and do whatever. Just go out there and play. Quit trying to run the system and just play. And I'm just... Y'all seen the Wizards?
They're 5-2. Five of the last seven.
But still, like, y'all seen the Wizards? You gotta have something that resembles an offense. And I mean, it's actually kind of interesting because George Karl does a lot of the just kind of do whatever you want, but even he's, you know, he's got certain principles that you have to abide by.
Yeah.
So, and but, it's just really interesting the way this is all playing out. I do feel kind of bad for everybody.
Here's the thing, is you need a leader within the organization, whether it's a coach, whether it's a player, whether it's front office, whether it's the owner. That is your identity. Like, what has been the identity for 30 plus years of the Lakers. It hasn't been Kobe. It hasn't been Shaq. It hasn't even been Magic. It's been Jerry Buss. They don't really have that anymore. And that's why talent, like before, you can kind of let talent reign supreme with the Lakers because Jerry Buss was still the focus of that organization. And I just don't think they have that anymore. And I think that's the biggest problem. That's when you don't have that, that's when talent ruling the land falls apart because they don't respect the coach. There is no hope in sight of moving players around to fix it. And you don't have anybody at the top really saying, like, hey, get your crap together and let's go be Lakers. You know, that's the weird thing. It's like, at a certain point, there's so much history and so much honor that comes with putting on that Lakers jersey that's different than just about any other jersey in the league. Like, maybe you could say the Celtics is on that level, but really those are the two biggest ones because those are two that won the most championships. But I feel like Kobe's probably the only guy, well, maybe Ron Artest, those were probably the only guys that, like, actually value that. Like, I don't think Dwight values having that name on the front of his jersey. I don't think Powell cares anymore. I think Nash is just kind of like, whatever, I want to make independent films with Baron Davis, you know? Like, I don't know that they have that anymore. And with the, you know, with the Spurs organization, it starts at the top and it has Pop and he's the leader. And the Heat organization has Pat Riley as the leader. You know, there's a set tone. It, you know, the Bulls, it's actually Tom Thibodeau that is that way. Like, there's a set tone. There's no set tone for the Lakers. And nobody, at least the guys involved, don't seem to care if Kobe is trying to set that tone anymore. Like, he's lost his voice in a way, too, because, and it's not that he's not good enough to have that voice. It's that Dwight doesn't seem to care. And you have to have everyone care about affecting that one voice within the organization.
We talked a little bit yesterday about how, you know, Kobe Bryant kind of needs to take responsibility for some of this stuff. I do want to say, I have a lot of respect for Kobe Bryant this season.
I love me some Kobe. I really do.
He could be such a problem right now.
Oh, God.
And there's talk that he is. That's the weird thing, is the dominant narrative from some people that have a relationship with him tends to be that it's everybody but him.
Right.
But there is some talk that, you know, Kobe's whole attitude, if this is not okay and not really wanting to do anything about it, is causing some problems. And that's pretty predictable, right? Like, everybody's going to think that somebody's doing something.
Well, especially a guy like Kobe with the career he's had and the relationships he's not really had throughout his teammates. Like,
yeah.
It would be easy just to assume that he's an issue or the issue, you know?
Yeah. But he could be torching Steve Nash for his defense. He could be going after Powell for how weak he's been.
Yeah, I mean, the way he protects Powell is kind of phenomenal. I don't know that I agree that that's what he should be doing, but he's kind of rolling with him.
I think one of the big this is speculation, but I will say this because who cares? I don't have to be responsible. Apparently, the media doesn't have to be responsible today. So, veiled reference after veiled reference after veiled reference. So, I do kind of think that Kobe has just never really. I don't think he appreciates the way that Dwight has approached the game.
Sure.
And I go back to actually Chris Ballard in what I consider to be kind of the Bible of the modern NBA and the Art of the Beautiful Game.
Yes.
He talks about, there's this whole thing on rebounding, and it's really phenomenal, because you can tell that going in, Ballard was kind of like, all right, I'm going to build this chapter on the best rebounder in the league, which is Dwight Howard, and he'll kind of be the icon, and he'll explain everything, and then everything else will be tangential. And what he ended up having to do was basically be like, well, everyone else works really hard and takes a cerebral approach to it, and, you know, it's all about effort and consistency and also being able to understand angles, and Dwight's just kind of big. And you saw in it, Dwight didn't really have the focus to be like, and you wonder, if Dwight had the attitude, couldn't he be the best rebounder maybe not in league history, but at least of his era?
Of the modern era? Oh, absolutely.
And it's questionable whether he is right now. Like, I tend to like Kevin Love.
Well, that's the thing that I always argued, and people just thought I was being a homer, but I really felt this was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, whenever Love was still being kept on the bench for the most part, he would come in and you would watch him rebound. It's like, wow, he dominates that area of the game. Like, he was getting like 12 or 13 rebounds per 36 minutes and playing like a very, you know, limited amount of time compared to what he should have been playing. And And people, and I would say, you know, this guy's the best rebounder in the league. And they say, you're stupid, you're drunk, you know, it's Dwight Howard. And I would watch Dwight Howard rebound, and it's not that he's a bad rebounder, it's that he never got it off positioning. He never got off fighting for it. He would just go get it. And that's a skill, and that doesn't make him, you know, that doesn't discount his rebounding per se, but when he's recovering from back surgery, and when he doesn't have the lift, and when he doesn't have the power and the leverage, he's kind of just an above-average rebounder. There's nothing special about his rebound. Now, his rebounding numbers are still pretty good this year, but there's nothing special. Like, you don't feel like he's dominating the boards, whereas someone like Kevin Love or Zach Randolph, like, you feel like when they grab rebounds, you feel like they're dominating that aspect of the game.
It's still amazing that the Wolves ever benched Kevin Love because he's so good. Speaking of which,
good God.
You got a little piece over Wolf Among Wolves, I wish you titled "Things I Don't Want to Talk About, But I Feel I Am Forced to Talk About."
You mean I just call those game recaps now? That's what it's come to.
Ricky Rubio not around last night for the late game.
It, oh my God,
it's a thing. I know you don't want it to be a thing.
No, it absolutely is. How do I put this?
If I heard about it, I would have been like, why are you writing about this?
How do I put this? Terry Porter seems like a really nice guy. He does. I talk to him. He's charming. He jokes with you. He seems like a really nice guy. And I think he's a very good assistant. Adelman trusts him. He works with the players. There's improvement with the players. Like, I think he's a good assistant. I think that asking him to be a head coach, and under the circumstances, it's difficult. You know, Adelman's not with the team. He's dealing with a family issue. And there's a lot of uncertainty with that because you're asking, you know, now we know that going into the night's game, Porter is going to be the coach. Like, he's going to be the coach for the next couple of games. Until they announce something about Adelman, Porter's the guy. And that's just the situation, and I get that. So asking Porter to be a very good coach, to be Rick Adelman, is unfair. But when you have a limit restriction on a guy, he needs to hit those minutes, or a minute restriction, like, limit. He needs to hit those minutes unless he's hurt. Because that's the only way you build up the game and build up strength in his leg. There are too many injuries on this team to even worry about the playoffs anymore. Like, there just aren't. Like, maybe they can stick around, that's fine. If they do, great. We'll roll credits. We'll have the Disney music playing. You know, Air Bud will fly in, and everyone will pet him, and it'll be great. But until then, you have to build up your franchise point guard. And I don't think this is something where they're gonna lose him. He's gonna want to be traded. Like, this was just an isolated incident, and you know, Ricky's really kind of a easygoing guy, and I don't see him making too big of a fuss about this, but. With 4 minutes left, Rubio is going to check in for the last 4 minutes of the game. He's at 24 minutes. His limit is 28. The next dead ball doesn't come until 2:19. At that point, with 2:36 left in the game, J.J. Barea has hit a three-pointer to cut the deficit to 5. Terry Porter pulls back Rubio, says, "You're not going in the game. I'm going to roll with Barea." His reasoning after the game was Barea was hot. He hit a three, he hit a shot, he got hot. Barea's previous shot that he even took was 3 minutes earlier, 3 minutes before that made three-pointer. His previous made shot before that was 20 seconds into the quarter. Rubio didn't play any of the fourth quarter because Barea had hit three shots in 10 minutes and was quote-unquote hot. By the way, he had missed three shots in that quarter as well. I think that shows you why certain guys don't continue to get head coaching jobs. Like, he was out pretty quickly in Phoenix. He didn't even get a full season in Phoenix. Like, it's just a dumb decision. It's a very short-sighted dumb decision in my opinion.
Carl benched Iguodala the other night versus the Thunder because Brewer was. Just insane.
Yeah.
Just crazy. I mean, he was doing everything. and his defense was really locked in, and it was hard to criticize him. It was also, Carl got out in front of it, which I thought was interesting, because he expected for him, most times when the guy benches him, like, the coach doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't talk about it, waits for you to ask, like, he's hoping you're going to forget about it.
Yeah.
And I liked Carl, because Carl was like, you know, I stuck with Brewer because he was doing everything for us, and I liked the lineup. I needed Gallo's offense, and Brewer was doing enough defensively. You know, it was a lineup thing.
Right.
And so he got really out in front of it and was like, don't read into it. This is not, you know, Iguodala's not going to be benched for, this is nothing that's going to happen. Iguodala also vanished post-game, just like, gone. Which, you know, to his credit, because I don't like it when guys, I just don't like it when guys complain about it. I don't mind if you're mad. I think it's good if you're mad that you got benched.
Right.
Your response should always be, you know, he felt like that was the best thing to happen. The end.
Yeah.
Like, you can even say, I wish I played. I want to play. I always want to play. But just don't ever, you know, even Rubio a little bit, I'm kind of, with his comments after the game, which were, you know, oh, I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm always like, why are you telling the press that? Like, it's your assistant coach. Of course you're going
to
talk to him.
Well, that's the thing. I really don't, like, I keep saying this and people think it's a joke. I don't think he knows how to lie. I think if you ask him a question, he just answers the question. Like, yeah. They're like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. He just decided to stick with JJ. And then it was like, are you going to talk to him about it? He goes, yeah, I think I will. Like, it was a very innocent, like, yeah, I think I will talk to him about it.
I will talk to him.
Like, that's a good idea. Thank you. It was weird. It was like,
I shouldn't blame him. I was, you know, I was naive like that when I was 12.
Right.
What else happened last night? Let's see. Fun one with Oklahoma City, Golden State.
That was really fun.
I felt like Durant had been so clutch for like 7 games in a row, and it was like he just ran out of juice. Like the meter just hit 0.
Yeah, there were. I mean, the Thunder just played horrible in the last 2 minutes.
And they tried to run a play.
Yeah, and some of it was, some of it was the Warriors, but I feel like, not that they let the Warriors win the game, but they let it not be an issue at the end of the game. Like, they kind of just forgot how to play.
I think it's crazy that it's really crazy to think about, I guess, 3 years ago, with Oklahoma City going in to a first-round playoff series, and like the plucky underdogs versus the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know, can they win a game? You know, pushing them to 7, like, what a storybook. And now they're the team that every team gets so up for.
Yeah.
I mean, every team just gets amped to play Oklahoma City.
They're the best team in the league. I think the Heat
get more up for them than the Heat.
Yeah, I think that, well, I think that because the Heat won, you know, that there's still that fire there, but it's no longer, hey, we can help keep these guys from getting to the top, you know?
Right.
I really think that's the thing.
Westbrook was bad.
Yeah. Curry went unbelievably cold from 3-point range.
Watching Ethan's timeline on that was pretty amazing.
Oh, it was fantastic. Because Ethan will just say, like, there is no reason for him to not shoot a 3 in transition. It doesn't matter what the advantage is. Like, he should always shoot a 3 in transition. And he missed, like, I think 3 straight open looks at one point, and it was just like, I don't know what's going on.
I'm so confused. Yeah. My world's rocked. That would be a fun playoff series. I think pretty much any combination. I think maybe the optimal is, I don't know. Would you rather see a Clippers-Golden State series or a Clippers-Thunder series or a Warriors-Thunder series?
I would rather see a Clippers-Thunder series just because of
Chris Paul.
Because of Chris Paul. Like, he's my favorite player in the league. And he's the third best player in the league, I would say. And seeing the second and third best players in the league play, like, that's what I want to see.
I want to bounce this off of you. I came to the conclusion the other night watching them beat the Thunder, or beat the Clippers, rather.
Yeah.
I'm really starting to feel like the Thunder are just that much more, just that far ahead.
Yeah, like, they probably just, are.
Everyone's talking about how tough the West is, and I recognize how good San Antonio, the Clippers, the Warriors, the Grizzlies are.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of a gap, and then the Nuggets, and then there's
a huge cliff.
and then Thelma and Louise are driving off the rest. Utah and Portland holding hands as they drive off the cliff.
Does that make the Lakers like a shirtless Brad Pitt pretending to hold people up with a hairdryer? Because that makes a lot of sense.
His performance was much stronger than that, than theirs. But I just feel like with some teams, it's like, man, how do you stop all of this? And with the Thunder, it's just, even if you manage to survive Durant for a game, and it's crazy because you would think that it's like, well, he can take one game or he can win two games on his own. I'm legitimately like, no, I think Kevin Durant can win four games by himself against anyone.
Yeah, he's that.
I'm so big on Westbrook, but Kevin Durant.
Yeah, the only team I don't think he can do that against is the Heat because LeBron is so good. But anybody else, I think I'm with you.
The West, but the defense is just.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, though. Like, there's no team in the West. There are teams in the West, like, I could see the Clippers winning the title. I could see the Spurs maybe winning the title. Manu would have to be really healthy. That's probably it. You know, I know you like Memphis and you like the Warriors in that capacity. Like, I just don't quite see it.
I don't think the Warriors can win a title. I think the only way that Memphis wins a title is if a series of fortunate matchups occur.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, if they landed a 4-5, San Antonio would have to slip. And they landed a 4-5 matchup with San Antonio, and then they match up well with Oklahoma City. And if again, that's the whole thing, though, right? Is I'm like, you know, based on matchups, the Thunder or the Grizzlies have a really good chance against Oklahoma City. But I'm just like, but no, Durant would just win,
right?
Like Durant would just win that series for them.
And that's the thing. There are matchups where I could see them beating the Thunder, but I will always pick the Thunder throughout the West.
Right now the 4-5 is Memphis Golden State.
That would be fun too. Two very different styles.
I don't like that one. Makes me nauseous. It gives me the Pepto, but it doesn't give me the shakes like the Clippers do.
Pretend you're not invested in the Grizzlies at all. That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, Memphis or Golden State versus anybody is gonna be fun. So you put two of those fun teams together.
Yeah.
That's why I'm kind of worried about the Spurs, because I'm like, they're going to really rob us of like some sort of really good series, because I feel like there's a chance that they could just do to the Clippers again what they did last year,
yeah,
to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh no, the Spurs just out-executed them.
Yeah, I get that.
How can the Spurs be so good and me not have that much fun? Because I said this morning, I'm so impressed with their defense. Like, I feel like they've done what I said they needed to do, which is they need to get back to defense, and they've done it. And yet I'm still like, can they win the title? I don't know.
For me, it's Manu. Like, I don't have much confidence in him being healthy or fresh, you know? And if it ends up being that way and they made it to the finals, I wouldn't be shocked. But it just seems like, I mean, they are an awesome team, but it just seems like something's missing.
Toronto-Miami was surprisingly fun.
That was really fun.
I don't think I have anything substantive to say about it, though.
We have to make Terrence Ross dunk.
He does. He so badly needs to.
He's so fun.
I don't understand. The dunk contest should really, at this point, just be sophomores and rookies.
Yeah.
That's all it should be.
I like that.
The only ones whose innocence has not been spoiled.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man, JaVale's dunk.
Oh. Really, he could do that three times a game.
I've seen him do it three times a game a lot. Not that specific dunk, but... I don't know. I've been on this bandwagon, and I'm the only person, including his teammates and coaches. I'm like, JaVale's a lot better. I feel like none of the Nuggets organization really watched him much in Washington.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone focuses on, look at the stupid thing he did. And I'm just like, his defensive rotations are not good, but they're better.
Right.
And his man defense is not great, but it's better. And his hook shot is not good, but it's better. And his turnaround is not good, but it's better. And, you know, his focus and energy is not good, but it's better. But, you know, Carl calls him the lazy crazy. That's what he talks about with all the young guys on the Thunder, or the Nuggets. So he calls him the lazy and crazy.
I just love the idea of them putting that on the media guide. Not good, but better.
Not good, but better. By the way, I went 8-3 last night on picks.
Look at you.
8-3. So I need to hand out some thank yous for Brooklyn for not letting Minnesota hang.
Yeah, it was close too. What was the line on that?
The line.
It was like five,
something like that. I think it was four.
Four? Yeah, yeah. That was actually. I mean, I was surprised. I started taking suggestions because I just don't write a recap anymore if they get blown out, and I just pick a random topic. And I had picked Starburst. My lady friend had suggested Starburst, and so I was going to write about Starburst. And then after the first couple minutes, Minnesota got it together and made it pretty close. JJ got hot.
And who else helped me out last night? Atlanta helped me out by taking care of business. Oh, did you see the Joe Kim Noah play?
Yeah. Okay, so I'd seen tweets all night about how incredible it was because I was at the Wolves game, so I didn't get to watch it. And it's a good play. I don't know. I was expecting more. I was expecting that photo of Dennis Rodman fully horizontal, like diving out for a ball and saving it.
Confused. The Bulls fans may have over exaggerated something.
I think it ended up being a lot like the movie Sideways, where I had heard so much about it and it had been hyped up so much that I still enjoyed it a lot and I would watch it again, but I was left wanting more because it had been built up.
I'm slowly starting to invest in the Chicago team, though.
I'm telling you.
Bellinelli.
Well, no, don't. That's not how you sell me on that.
I'm serious, though. You need those bench guys. You need those guys that are going to have those games.
He had 5 points.
That play at the end was big.
Oh, come on. 5 points on 5 shots. You can't say have those games.
You have to have guys that make those kind of plays. Maybe that's what I'm saying.
Jimmy Butler.
It's good. I noticed last year. I thought Jimmy Butler was good. I wasn't like prescient or anything. I just noticed. I was like, oh, hey, Jimmy Butler's pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's solid.
Yeah, like I like how we're always surprised. It's like, oh, young player got better. This is shocking.
Well, I think, just the thing with him was his knee injury in college, right? Yeah. Like he would have been a first round pick easily without the injury, probably a lottery pick.
Phoenix almost screwed up the fire coach theory. Almost.
They tried to.
And then they finally pulled away from Sacramento, which is the saddest team in the league right now. God almighty, Indiana. Ugh. They look so good, but man, when they go to pieces, God, it's a disaster.
That's the thing is that, Portland just scored all over them, and they cannot keep up in a scoring contest.
Nope.
Like, if both teams are beat up and both teams are missing shots, Indiana knows how to beat you, but...
The Pacers were in the West, they would be like 10th, just because they can't keep up.
Right.
We need a Rockets Pacers first round series.
That's going to be hard to set up.
That might be a little difficult.
I mean, I'll make a call, but I don't quote me on that.
Okay, really quick, 4-point plays up today. You should go check it out. Big feature on Pierce versus Melo and
yes.
How Melo tends to rush into rush into his shots after Garnett got in his head last time.
Shocker.
Yeah. It's Honey Nut Cheerios night in Boston.
It is. It's cereal night in Boston.
Seriously, can you imagine how much grocers are making today? Like, if I was a grocer, I would be. That's the first thing you'd see when you walk in.
Oh yeah. Oh, it would be
giant Honey Nut Cheerios.
Thing. You know how they have like those cases of propane tanks in front of grocery stores? That it would have been filled with cereal.
Yep. The line I don't have right now because our system is screwed up. But let's put it at. Let's see. New York's fresh. Boston's fresh. They're not on a back-to-back.
Let's just pretend that there is a gambling site out there. It might have the Knicks favored by 1.5.
That makes sense.
It's not our lines, but that's.
I was gonna make it 2, but
yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Boston is a hot mess right now.
Sure.
The media has turned. The players have turned.
Doc is out. Doc doesn't want to be there.
Going all is well.
Yeah, Danny Ainge is really like, can you guys not screw with my trade value for the next 3 weeks, please?
It's really hard to get a good deal when y'all keep screaming fire sale.
Yeah.
it's like he's put a car up on Craigslist, and a guy comes to take a look at it, and the guy in the house is like, "Do you see that piece of crap in the yard? Did you fix the carburetor?" Danny Ainge is out front being like, "Shut up! No, the carburetor's fine, man. It's, you know, you need to be patient with the carburetor."
I mean, I'd start it for you right now, but I don't feel the need to rub it in. Like, it's a good car.
It's a good car. Trust yeah. me.
I gotta go with. Well, who are you going with? Because
I'll go with Boston.
Okay, I'll go with the Knicks because
Boston owns this team.
I don't want any part of you and the Celtics collaborating. I don't feel like any good can come of that.
Boston owns this team. Matt Moore, Stone Cold, Lock of the Night. Boston is winning this game.
Okay.
They have this team figured.
Okay.
And this is like. This is the furthest moment. They have to pull back from the edge a little bit. They can't just go careening off.
You know what's a confusing line?
What?
Orlando is giving 4 points to the Raptors.
Back to back.
I feel like that's trusting Orlando a lot to do something.
I mean, I don't know. Orlando's really... I don't really know how to pick them ever. Cause
yeah. That just seems like a lot of points.
They have some good players. Here's the thing. I feel like their good players don't play well together, and their bad players play really well together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I don't know what to figure. I don't know. I mean, Orlando's got capable bigs, which means Amir Johnson's going to have, like, what, 9, 12 fouls?
Minimum.
You know?
Minimum.
Terrence Ross needs more minutes, by the way.
I'm banging that drum.
He needs to get more minutes, and they need to trade Calderon and play Lowry. It needs to be Lowry and DeRozan and Ross and Amir and, I guess, Davis, because Davis play really well.
Yeah.
Or, you know, theoretically, they would trade Amir for a good center.
Question. If Toronto had Lowry and Calderon on the same contract, do you think they'd still stick with Lowry? If they had the exact same contract that Lowry has right now?
I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that question, because I think there's been a lot of things with Lowry in terms of, like, his attitude's been up and down, but it's been better. His health has been up and down, but it's been better. And they really like Jose.
That's the thing, is I feel like they really like Jose, and if it wasn't such a big cap number, they would probably stick with him instead.
Teams get attached.
Yeah.
And, you know. Hey, I have a quick question.
Sure.
Why in God's name is Phoenix on TNT tonight?
There was no way that was ever going to work out once Steve Nash was traded. And that happened.
I think they made the schedule before, but even then, like, you need to flex. Like, I'd rather, you know, just do the one game.
Couldn't they just have, like, a Clippers scrimmage? I'd watch that.
Wouldn't you rather watch a Lob City? And you know, Phoenix is going to end up winning this game, and we've talked about this.
I know. I do kind of like it just for the fact that I think we'll see some awesome plays out of the Clippers tonight.
Who's Michael Beasley guarding? Grant Hill?
Nobody.
Who's Michael Beasley not guarding right tonight?
Crum Butler? Yeah.
Matt Barnes a little bit?
Yeah,
Matt Barnes versus Mike Beasley.
Matt Barnes is going to shred him. That's a lot of, like, Matt Barnes isn't good, but you have to be, like, attentive.
Luis Scola versus Blake.
That's actually fun.
And Gortat versus DeAndre.
That won't be fun. I kind of like... I mean, I don't think he'll win the matchup at all, and I don't think he'll come close, but I think Dragic has the right personality going against Chris Paul. I think he'll take it as a challenge, and he'll be pretty fierce about it.
You're going to think I'm nuts, but Shannon Brown's played pretty good defense this year.
Okay.
He really has. I was watching him the other night. I think he plays pretty good. So him versus Bledsoe might be interesting in the fourth quarter when the Clippers are at 40.
Sure. That's something to look out for. Wes Johnson minute watch. I'll put it at 1 second.
Beasley shots versus points.
Oh, I'll take the shots all night.
What do you think? Let's put the over-under on shots. Let's see. He'll probably play... I think he played more minutes last night under the new coach.
I'll say 9 points on 11 shots.
Yeah, I was going to put the over-under at like 9.5.
Yeah, I'll go 9 on 11.
9 points on 11 shots, yeah. I'll go. You know, he's going to be the only guy that's open, so. I'll go 12 shots, 10 points.
Wow, okay.
12 shots, 10 points. And a double-double, and people start talking about it, is Beasley turn the corner.
What's the double going to be in?
Mean mugs.
Yeah.
Mean mugs.
Looks to the rim for gremlins.
Little announcement on the podcast. Zach is going to be gone.
Yes, we will most likely have a pre-recorded episode tomorrow. Well, they're all pre-recorded, but recorded today, posted tomorrow. And then Monday and Tuesday, I don't know. We'll probably figure something out.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, yeah. It's your birthday.
Meet up with Rob Mahoney at one point, so maybe I'll just record our conversation without him knowing and post it as a podcast.
It's really weird. It's two of my former HP guys getting together. It's
for tacos.
Weird. Oh, God. You're going to Torchy's?
I don't know yet, but he said tacos.
He better be taking you to Torchy's.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, have a good time, man. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, have a good weekend, man.